Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. Welcome to Trick or Treat. My job is not just to entertain you, but to educate and teach you. So call me at 1-800-743-CBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. Hold on a second. You don't go from fabulous to horrible overnight. We don't suddenly doubt the entire edifice of a strong consumer only on Halloween. Would anyone accept the trick that we're about to go into recession because of weak numbers and more negative trade talk rather than the treat of good earnings and low interest rates? Yet on days like today, when we get some soft manufacturing data, we do believe the worst is yet to come, something that may be exacerbated by the so-called trade stalemate. And that's why the Dow sank 140 points, S&P lost 0.30%, NASDAQ was down 0.14%. One point, the market was down far more than that. I think it's a big mistake to panic here. And not just because no one ever made a dime panicking. See, the truth is, nothing we heard today should come as much of a surprise to you if you're a watcher of the show. That's because for months I've been telling you that we have two economies in this country. There's the consumer economy, which is red hot, as we'll hear later in the show when we talk to a couple of companies. And then there's the industrial economy, which is weak and in many cases getting weaker. Fortunately, the consumer economy is a lot larger than the industrial economy in the United States. That's why industrial weakness simply can't bring the whole stock market down by itself. No, it can't. It just isn't big enough. The industrial slowdown can bring down manufacturing, for sure. But with the exception of some companies that cut their forecasts, most of the enterprises are doing pretty well. And by the way, the forecast cutters are few and far between. Now, maybe the industrial stocks have gotten a little too high. I will share that view with you. But the actual fundamentals are better than the macro data certainly would lead you to believe. All right, what about the other big negative? Today's story was floated by an important, incredible, reliable business network, which claimed the Chinese aren't about to make a serious deal with the United States. The market wants a deal, so of course that caused the news to get hammered. I was up at 3 this morning, and there had been no negative news. The story broke around 4, and then the market just plummeted, so that's how I know. Now, at the end of the day, well, that's when I saw the story. At the end of the day, we have no real knowledge of what's happening behind the scenes. I don't share everything that I hear about trade with you. Why don't I do that? Because I often believe the information I have may not give you the full picture of what's going on, so if you act on it, you may not make money. So I don't tell you. But I do know this. China's not calling the shots here. The Chinese economy is rolling over. And anyone who thinks that they're in charge of their own destiny, listen to me, is dreaming. Dreaming. The press here in America tends to be very credulous when it comes to the Chinese government. We're constantly being told that they plan a dozen moves ahead, that they're thinking for the long term. This is ridiculous, people. The Chinese Communist Party is capable of making mistakes and misjudgments just like anybody else. Don't fall for it. Here's how I see the trade war. The United States and China are on the same repeated collision course, but there's one huge difference that no one ever seems to be willing to talk about or doesn't want to talk about. I don't know. Behind the scenes, our government is relentless in insisting that U.S. companies move out of China, take their jobs out of China with all deliberate speed. We do a ton of manufacturing over there. They don't do much manufacturing over here. Both countries have a problem with employment. China can't afford to keep losing jobs. They're flying to other countries in Southeast Asia. That's a bad problem to have if you're running an authoritarian one-party state. The last thing that party needs is more unrest, like the kind that they can't seem to quell in Hong Kong. Huge face loss every weekend. On the other hand, here in the United States, we have a different problem. We can't find enough workers to fill all the jobs we have. Their situation is decidedly suboptimal. Our situation is fabulous, especially since there's no real inflation to speak of. So do this for me. Every time you hear about Chinese intransigence, remember that our companies just bought more time to get the heck out of China, and that's the president's design. Think of Zebra Technologies. They came on the show the other day. They told us they're moving out of the People's Republic as fast as possible. They used to make everything there. I mean, well, most of it. I don't see China winning back that business. I mean, they can put all the soybean orders in the one they want. They're not going to get Zebra's business back. They can order all the 747s they want. They're not going to get Zebra. And Zebra's emblematic, people. I've got dozens of companies that are moving out. Actually, I've got hundreds. You check them off, but in the S&P, there's about dozens. Let me make this very simple. The longer these trade talks drag on, the worse it is for China, not us. Maybe some presents will end up costing more this holiday season because of the tariffs. You'll hear about one later in the show. But that's a small price to pay. Plus, you may not even see these price increases because I expect Watch, my trenchant acronym for Walmart, Amazon, Costco, Target, and Home Depot, will be able to force their suppliers to eat most of the tariff costs. I expect them all to have a really good Christmas. Third point, didn't the Fed just cut interest rates like yesterday because it was worried about the economy? See, it did the right thing. Did they really say they won't cut again? No, that's just that parlor game. Oh, we're going to talk about that, too. Fed Chief Jay Powell, after initially being captured by the anti-inflation ideologues, has finally come to a senses. He's doing what's right. Tons of home-related loans and auto loans get priced off the short-term rate set by the Fed. There'll be a lot more business being done thanks to the rate cut. Jay Powell has our back, even if people in the media like to speculate that he doesn't. More on that. Stuff gets me angry. Fourth, did anyone even bother? All these naysayers, negatives. Did they bother to listen to the Apple call, the Facebook call last night? Holy cow. I mean, yes, it took me an hour and 15 minutes to read the Apple call, and it took me about an hour and a half to read the Facebook call. It is really grim. I don't want to do it. There was a lot of cool things on TV last night, but I got to read the damn calls. I'm telling you, people don't do it, because if they had, they would realize that Facebook's practically coining money, and they're helping hundreds of thousands of business people build businesses, though all we ever hear about is their policy on political ads. I think they should just sticker this darn stuff with the same kind of warning you find on packs of cigarettes, and then they can move on. Meanwhile, Apple's selling incredibly expensive phones, which I think are a bargain, by the way, and their accessories at such a rapid pace that it's hard to believe anyone's really talking about a weak economy. If anything, both Facebook and Apple would indicate that things are getting better, not worse, with the consumer. Neither company is totally emblematic of the earnings season. They're way too good. But I got to tell you, when I searched the bevy of all the different conference calls and statements that I read, do you know what? Other than Grubhub, I haven't heard a company say things are terrible. Just grub up. And that's a promiscuous situation. What can you do in this era here? I think it's simple. All stocks went up in the most recent rally. Now everything's coming back down in the sell-off. In the rally, the industrial stocks soared, while the food and drug stocks, they meandered up. Those industrials now need to give back some of their gains. But stocks like Bristol-Myers, Merck, Eli Lilly, Biogen, Abbott Labs, they can and should be bought on the way down. All right, let me give you a couple others that I've been reading that I really kind of like. I like Mondelez. And Waste Management. Don't forget, Walmart, Target, and Costco. They're going to soon reach over to whole territory. That's attractive to me. When we get these sell-offs, we tend to hear broad, sweeping predictions, often of dire proportions. We hear that Apple's moved up too far too fast, or that Starbucks didn't rally, so the quarter must not be that good. In my view, you should be thinking totally the opposite. I want you to view this pullback as a gift. Cross your fingers and hope the market will let you into Apple at lower prices, because it's gotten too cheap given its fantastic evergreen stream of revenue. Tell yourself the sellers are wrong. It is time to pick up some Starbucks, which had a truly fantastic quarter, yet rallied a paltry 37 cents. That stock's a buy. Hey, don't wish sins or buts. Bottom line, when you look at the sell-off through that prism that I just gave you, the one after everything taking into account that's going right, you'll recognize that nothing has changed here except the stock prices got cheaper. The market's throwing you a sale that it doesn't need to throw. That's opportunity, not tragedy. Mark in Arizona, Mark!
Jim, what's up?
I don't know much. How about you, partner?
Man, I'm dying here.
Why?
Of all the cannabis stocks, I thought after Constellation Brands put $4 billion into canopy growth, it was going to go. but it's down to 1996.
Mark, they all trade together. The one giant ETF, it really doesn't matter. Remember, there is no real CEO. There's a guy, a caretaker CEO. Canopy did not do well under Bruce Linton. Sorry, I know he thinks he did well, but boy, it would have been better just to keep the bat on his shoulders. I do believe that one day cannabis will get its mojo back, but not anytime soon, because there's no earnings to speak of, and the shorts keep laying on all the stocks. Ethan in California. Ethan.
Jim, it's a pleasure.
Hi.
Match Group is going to be spun off. What kind of impact could that have on
stocks? We don't worry about the spinoff. We know that the business is good, and that's what we care about. And you're getting a bargain match, but even cheaper than Match is Interactive itself. Barry Dillard, very good interview the other day. How about Matthew in Maryland? Matthew.
Booyah, Jim. Booyah. Thanks a lot for making investing so exciting for millennials like me. I really do appreciate it. So about 3 months ago, I started investing in stocks, and I took your advice and took some risks as a young investor, and it paid off 26% just in my first 3 weeks. However, since then, I've gone into the red from earnings plays that were beat but still plunged regardless. The most recent example was ENPH and Phase Energy. It was down 27% from its August high.
Right.
My research suggested they ended up beating earnings anyways, but still plunged another 25%. So why did the stock plunge another?
Well, it went up a lot on a short squeeze, okay? It is a solar power solutions play. Those have lots of short sellers. It's interesting. We mentioned the short seller Canopy. They knocked it down. I think that ENPH is being knocked down by short sellers. They actually have the ability to do it. Now, I am not blaming short sellers per se. I'm saying they're just selling it very aggressively. If you really love it, you can go buy it very aggressively. So there's two sides of the same coin. But I don't want you to do so. I am more conservative than that. All right, listen to me. I don't want you to be intimidated by today. I don't mean intimidated by today's action. The sellers, I think, for the most part, did not heed what I'm talking about here. All right? This is what opportunity looks like. Or maybe by tonight. From winter boots to down jackets, Columbia Sportswear can help protect you from the elements. But after earnings, is the stock feeling the chill? I'm sizing up the company with the CEO. Then forget the darn parlor games. I'm going to tell you why it's time to focus on good old-fashioned stock picking. And it's the biggest day of the year for Smarties. I'm getting the story of the family-run company from the women behind the business. So stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com. Take control of your financial future with the new madmoney.cnbc.com. Cramer's exclusive CEO interviews, full episodes, analysis, even your own soundboard. Plus, special access to Mad Money 101 with rules and techniques to break down the market for all investors.
The red flag that makes me drop a stock immediately is...
It's everything you need right when you need it. The new madmoney.cnbc.com.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Some stocks, they just can't catch a break in this market. Last night, we got results from Columbia Sportswear. That's the house of apparel brands you know as Columbia, Sorel, Mountain Hardware, Prana, among other things. Now, the company reported a fabulous beat and raised good guidance here, 20-cent earnings beat off $1.55 basis. Higher than expected, sales up 14% year over year. Even better, management raised their full-year forecast, yet the stock fell nearly $3 or 3.15% today. Why? Well, in parts because maybe the company only raised its guidance by 5 cents a share, which is pretty conservative given that they just delivered a 20-cent beat. But perhaps also because some anonymous Chinese officials told Bloomberg that they're doubtful about the prospect of reaching a trade deal. Columbia Sportswear is widely perceived as having too much China exposure, both as part of its supply chain and as an end market. This is something that's been holding the stock back all year, even though the company's reported 3 straight beat and raised quarters in a row. I think it's nuts. When Columbia peaked at 109 back in February, Wall Street only expected them to earn $4.08 per share. Now the company's guiding for 470 or 480, and the stock has pulled back to 90. Sooner or later, I think the market's going to give this thing the credit it deserves. But do not take it from me. Let's check in with Tim Boyle, the president and CEO of Columbia Sportswear, get a better sense of the quarter and where his company is headed. Mr. Boyle, welcome back to Mad Money.
Thanks, Jim. Great to talk to you.
Tim, you've got some accelerating brands I want to talk to first before we get to this China issue. Sorel, this is a remarkable brand. It's almost as if you just launched it. How did it suddenly get in a reacceleration that is pretty dramatic versus all the other brands I follow?
Well, you know, it's really interesting, and I think actually probably was missed in yesterday's announcement, but Sorel's third quarter was up 27%. You know, if you remember, Sorel's an old brand, frankly. It was started in the 20s in Canada and was really a men's work brand. It caught fire a little bit in the 90s when it became really the snowboarder's snowboard boot. But frankly, we've converted that. I shouldn't say we. It's really been our management team at Sorel that's converted that brand and its entire reputation as a functional product into a women's fashion footwear brand, and it's been very, very exciting. It's really where the convolution of fashion and footwear function come together, and it's been very widely accepted, and it's really been a real key story for us this year. And again, it just proves the power of footwear. We had nice growth, and on top of significant growth in historical periods, it's going to be a really big brand someday.
All right, let me drill down on that, because when you say that it's the footwear, what you're really, I think, for our viewers saying, it's organic. It's not like you're taking out full-page ads. You're not doing these large TV commercials. It's just people see it on other people's feet, and they buy it.
It's amazing. You know, it's an incredibly successful product based on its product attributes and the brand's reputation. So we're very excited about it. Big opportunity there.
Now, you are... got something very exciting that, again, I didn't think get enough talk on the comms call. And I may not pronounce it right, but it's SH/FT, footwear, your new footwear line.
Shift.
And it looks like yes. That, to me, that Shift is something that I should be wearing, but also my kids should be wearing. Is this some sort of universal message? Because they're really pretty cool.
Well, thank you. We're looking forward to great things from Shift. You know, when we talk to our customers about what can the next opportunity for Columbia Footwear be, we say, you know, if you took an athletic shoe and a hiking boot, put them in a box overnight, that's what you'd come up with, and that's Shift. And frankly, the reception has been terrific, especially in these boutique sneakerhead shops, not only in the U.S. but in Europe. It was a small launch in terms of product, but frankly, the uptake was quite compelling, and it's gonna be the genesis of a number of different products from the Shift launch in that same family that we're launching over the next several seasons. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Is Shift being traded on one of these stock exchange kind of things where they trade limited numbers among people, like they trade Nikes?
You know, I'm not sure. I'll check, but it would be great if it were. We've had a few of those kinds of things happen. If you remember last year with our Star Wars launch,
right.
That product got picked up and was traded on eBay. But I don't know. I'll have to check on the sneaker launch.
Well, we could be Frozen 2 could be like that.
Yep, I agree. It's exciting merchandise. And you know, the interesting thing in terms of our relationship with Disney, typically their products that are sold under license are inexpensive. Maybe T-shirts might be the most expensive product. And we have very expensive products in the Disney launch. And it's pretty exciting to see the how well that's taken up.
Now, around the world, you were terrific, but I guess I have to point it out because I know it's always in the news these days. You did have a slight decline in China, and you still make things in China. Obviously, China is a flashpoint. Do you think your company's being too colored by what is really not nearly as important as some of the things we've just talked about?
No, you know, I think China is by far the largest geographic opportunity for the company. We have a great business there. We've been doing business in China on the selling side for almost 20 years, and we have a great brand recognition. We didn't handle that part of the business properly. Mm-hmm. We have new management in there. It's been in there about 6 months. We're right-sizing the business and doing the right things, but the brand is very strong there. Now, when we talk about what's typically in the news today is the tariff implications on sourcing product in China, and we've, over the last several years, been moving product out of China, not because we don't like China, but frankly because there's been better opportunities in other sourcing countries. Now, some things, for example, some of the Sorel product, which is highly technical, we can't move quickly out of China. So we're paying additional tariffs on that merchandise, which we've been very clear, it's bad for consumers globally, bad specifically for consumers in the United States. And we're free traders. We like the opportunity to sell more merchandise at better prices to consumers.
Well, you offer a great bargain because of the high quality of your goods. So I understand your desire not to have governments make it even more expensive than it should be. Thank you so much to Tim Boyle, President and CEO of Columbia Sportswear Company. Stock's too cheap, guys. It's been a winner the whole way. It's going to stay a winner. Mad Money's back in for the break.
Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or scaling one or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon has your back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
You seek the key. But first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Take control of your financial future with the new MadMoney.CNBC.com. Kramer's exclusive CEO interviews, full episodes, analysis, even your own soundboard. Plus, special access to Mad Money 101 with rules and techniques to break down the market for all investors.
The red flag that makes me drop a stock immediately is...
It's everything you need right when you need it. The new MadMoney.CNBC.com.
The moment the Fed cut interest rates yesterday, the talking heads immediately started in with the next round of their parlor game. What will the Fed do next? Will it cut again? Will it pause? Which officials want more easing? Which officials want it to stop? Every time I hear this stuff, I want to ask those people, are you really so desperate for a story that you can't even take time to savor that moment? Because I got to tell you, I think it's incredibly boneheaded to just immediately move on to the next thing without taking at least a second to process what actually just occurred. A long time ago, I used to be a sports writer. It taught me what I often consider to be the best form of analysis, the postgame. There are so many fantastic commentators in sports that the quality often blows me away. I bring this up because no matter what, they always talk about the game at hand. both before and after. Not the game the next week. And these guys, the Fed guys, are talking about the game 4 months from now. If the 49ers trounce the Cardinals tonight, you better believe we're going to hear about all the havoc that Nick Bosa created for the hapless Arizonans. We'll hear what it means for the playoff hopes of the Rams. We'll learn whether the Cardinals are simply Hilltoppers. That's my name for pro team that might have trouble beating the Summit Hilltoppers, the team at the high school my kids went to. But the one thing you won't hear is anything about the next game for either team. Why? It's too soon. The next game's irrelevant. Come on. In baseball terms, you talk about how the Nationals beat the Astros. You don't talk about whether there's going to be a rematch. I wish the business media has the same discipline as sports media, because we constantly make this mistake. Before we even have time to process what the Fed did yesterday, we're back to the parlay game about what they'll need to do at the next meeting in December. All this commentary is worthless to you. You have to do the best to tune it out. I mean, it's just not helpful to making money. The same goes for the China talks. Oh, that's another parlor game. I know Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, sounded more optimistic about some sort of deal when I spoke to him before Apple reported. But then today, some Chinese officials leaked word that they're pessimistic about the prospects for a trade deal, and then the market got hammered. The truth is, we don't have any idea how this is going to go, and trying to bet on it is a bit of a fool's game. But I'll tell you what we do know. We know the only person who wants to be tougher on China than Trump is Elizabeth Warren, the current Democratic frontrunner. In other words, no matter how the election goes next year, there's a very good chance the White House will continue to try to crack down on China's unfair trade practices. Hey, it looks like we played the long game over here, too. And we know the Chinese economy has been hit a lot harder than our economy. Sooner or later, I think they'll realize there's no point in trying to wait out Trump and then come. They got to come to the table, although that could take a while. Either way, when you see some headline speculating that we won't be able to reach a deal with China, I urge you to forget about it. That headline could have been written any day of the week. It's called an evergreen story, people. It's being ginned up so that authors have something to say. In other words, it's no different than Fed gasbagging, which is why it's a terrible reason to sell stocks. You need to ignore these parlor games that the commentators play. You do. I want you to keep your eyes on the prize, and that's owning high-quality stocks of high-quality companies and riding them through periods of idle chatter. I know it is hard to believe, but let me tell you, after 40 years of doing this, I can tell you that most of this speculation about the Fed or China trade talks is absolutely meaningless. Do yourself a favor and tune it out. Tony in Pennsylvania. Tony.
Hi, Jim. Booyah.
Booyah, Tony.
I'm a first-time caller, and I want to thank you for this great show. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
My question is on American Express. I know this is one of the companies right. You like, but its stock has drastically...
Oh, don't. Look, there's a down report for all the fintechs right now. Put American Express away. Square, you did a great job. It was a really terrific quarter. Really terrific. Elva in Michigan. Elva.
Love you, Jim.
Thank you, Elva.
I'm 93 years old, and I watch your show every day. What? Etsy for my granddaughter.
Okay, here's the story with Etsy. They had some one-time problems. I think they're going to solve the problems. The stock is going to be under pressure for a little bit longer. Do not sell it. Do not sell it. But don't buy it till it goes down another 10%, because I think it may actually do that. All right, don't let the parlor games distract you. Keep your eye on the prize, people. I'm here to help. Much more Mad Money Hit. For three generations, Smarties candies have been a favorite among Halloween trick-or-treaters. I'm finding out how the Kramer-approved candy has been strong all these years. Then yesterday's GDP numbers made it look crumble, and maybe the economy was chugging along, and it's being helped by the continued consumer. But what can win in an environment like this? I'm talking to an expert in the field to find out. And all your calls rapid fire tonight's edition of the Lightning Round. So stick with Kramer.
Tomorrow, kick off the trading day with Squawk on the Street. Live from Post 9 at the NYSE.
They had decent numbers, right?
Decent numbers. Who the hell cares?
Speaking of decent.
Who cares?
Yes, who cares?
Such shelf
yes,
operation?
Who cares? Yes, who cares?
It all starts at 9 a.m. Eastern. Wrapped up in a crinkly cocoon, these little cylinders of sweetness have given generations of children that much-desired sugar high. Can Smarties, the classically tart treat, take this candy company into the future?
On the only night of the year when we stockpile bags of candy to hand out to screaming children, I think it's worth taking a closer look at the business of candy. So in keeping with the spirit of Halloween, I've got a real treat for you. Smarties Candy Company. That's a privately held confectioner that makes my number one favorite candy. I keep a dozen cups of all different kinds of Smarties on my desk at all times, and you need to ask me if you want one. I often say no because I'm arbitrary and capricious, and it's my darn show. This year, Smarties is celebrating its 70th year in business, all under the same family. And they've done a great job of making their old-school brand more fun and relevant than ever. So let's take a close look. This is very exciting for me, people, with Liz D., the co-president of Smarties Candy Company, to learn more about what the future holds for my favorite candy. Ms. D., welcome to Mad Money.
Thank you so much, and happy Halloween.
Happy this Halloween. So how did you know? How did you find out it was my fave?
Oh, my gosh. Well, Eric Miller, a friend of ours, told us when you showed the brain, your brain, and a portion of it was Smarties. He saw that and immediately texted me and said, oh my gosh, Jim Cramer loves Smarties. So of course we needed to hook you up with some Smarties.
Thank you.
And it's just so awesome. Because you're such a Smartie.
Oh, please. Thank you. Now, this is a true family-run business,
yes.
Right? So give us the lineage and how exciting it is for you right now.
Thank you. Yes. Well, first of all, like you said, we're celebrating our 70th year in business. In 1949, my grandfather, Edward D., came over to the United States by boat and started the business right here in New Jersey, Okay. Where we still are today.
Well, I've got to tell you, it is remarkable because I've always felt that a lot of candy companies have moved away and they try to act like they're American, but they're not anymore. Why did you stay?
It's so important for us to stay here in New Jersey. We have an incredible team. Many people have been with us for decades. In fact, my grandfather just celebrated his 95th birthday.
Oh, that's great.
And he still comes into the office nearly every single day. So it's a family tradition that it is our honor to continue. It's so important for us to continue to be made right here in New Jersey.
And how do the co-presidents work it all out?
Well, with three people, you can never have a tie. So that works very well.
That's a good point.
Yes. And we're actually fifth generation candy makers.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. So it's really important for us to continue our family's candy-making tradition. And while, of course, we continue to modernize, we're never going to change the formula because, heaven forbid, you taste your Smarties one day and it's different. We're never going to do that.
Don't
to you,
do
Jim.
That.
I promise
Don't do that.
That.
Now, you guys may be old, but you love social media.
That's right. Yes, we try to remain current, of course, on social media, and we have done a total rebrand and package redesign recently as well. So while we are still a nostalgic and iconic candy, mm-hmm. we continue to stay fresh and current for today's consumers. And on today of all days, Halloween, you never really know who's coming to your doorstep and what needs they may have. So what works for Smarties is that it really appeals to a modern consumer because we are fat-free and gluten-free, top allergen-free, peanut-free, dairy-free, and vegan. So we're really working for today's sensibilities while still staying classic and true to our roots with the candy.
My father sold gift wrap for a living, and particularly Christmas gift wrap. And the one day that he had off was Christmas, because he didn't have to worry anymore. Is today an easy day for you?
Well, that depends what you mean by easy.
Well, I mean, once you're done the holiday, do you get a couple of days off before you start thinking about next Halloween?
I plan on kicking my feet up a little
you
bit.
You will?
Yes, I will. I'll be going hiking this weekend with my dog and my husband.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
That's how I'm going to be recuperating from a busy Halloween season.
All right, so what are the channels that are best? I mean, are the dollar stores? Is it Walmart, the club store? Amazon, where do you sell the most?
Well, one thing that's exciting about Smarties is that they can really be found everywhere candy
is everywhere.
Sold.
Everywhere.
Now, as you know, candy is often an impulse buy, so in-store is definitely strong for us because oftentimes people don't have it on their list,
mm-hmm.
but then they walk by the candy aisle and they say, oh yeah, I wanted to pick up some Smarties. Of course, Halloween is our biggest season.
Right.
It's our biggest candy holiday. It's actually the end of our fiscal year today as well.
It is.
It is, because we know how we've done for the year once Halloween is done.
All right, so here's the way I do it. I have the basket, and it's filled with Smarties, and I let kids actually put their hand in and take as many as they want. Are most people, like, here?
Well, the entire Smarties team takes home about 40 pounds of candy to share with their friends and family. So we're very popular around Halloween. And it's funny because sometimes we can hear the kids on the street say, go to that house. I'm going to go a second time. That's the Smarties house. They'll let you take as much as you want.
It absolutely is the way people do it. Last question. What I understand and why I am so chary about it, they give me four every day. They lay them up. I say, I eat three. I try to put one away. But I don't really need to because these are not a lot of calories.
Right. One roll is only 25 calories, which often surprises people. And of course, there's 15 tablets in a roll. You never know.
Tablets?
Yes. Yeah.
Don't call them tablets.
Oh, okay. Pieces of candy.
Yes.
Okay. 15 pieces of candy in every Smarties roll. So you never really know what you're going to get. And yes, you can ration them out. So that 25 calories.
That's what I do.
Goes a very long way.
I like to put, maybe I'll have six before I write the top. And then I'll have four. And then I'll have two right before I come out. And that's why I brush my teeth before I come out, because I've got a lot of. Anyway.
I love that.
It's my darn fave. Okay, that's Liz D, co-president of Smarties Candy Company, on the greatest American holiday of the year.
Thank you.
Yeah, buddy, be right back after the break. It is time. It's time for a very spooky lightning round. Kids, I'm going to rock the ball. We're going to take some of And then the lightning rounds are, are you ready, Skate? Yeah, time for the lightning round. Kids, I'm going to start with Ashwin in California. Ashwin!
Who are you, Jim? From Warrior Country. Thanks for taking my call. My symbol was XLMX.
Xilinx has got too much China. People want to own the Corvos, and they want to own the Microns, and they want to own NVDA or AMD. I like all those better. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike with Mike.
Yeah, booyah to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Look, Jim, I own Occidental Petroleum, about $5 more than it's selling for now. I was thinking of buying more at the lower price.
No, we're not going to buy more oils. I mean, I've gone over and over and over, and the oils are just a bummer, okay? I mean, that's a real technical term, but it basically means that they're fossil fuel stocks, and the young managers won't own them, and people don't even trust their dividends. Okay, let's go to Joe in Maine. Joe!
Booyah, Jim. How are you?
I am good. Joe's none better. What's going on?
Well, thanks for being a great inspiration and knowledgeable teacher to all of us investors out there.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy.
I'm interested about your thoughts on Datadog, symbol DDOG.
Don't know Datadog. That's a trick. I want a treat. Let's try Raul in Connecticut. Raul!
Yeah, hey, Kramer, I want to know what you think of Wave Life Sciences, WVE.
Well, this is perfect. Just on Halloween, I'm stumped on two right in a row. Two people come right to my door I don't recognize, and maybe they're from another neighborhood. You ever see that? You know, they come in with at 8:30, and they knock on your door. You're, really scared. You got your light out, and they want, thousands of pieces of candy. Well, come by at 6, and you'll get some good stuff. I'm giving Smarties out tonight. I am. How about Chuck in California? Chuck!
Hey, Jim. Booyah.
Booyah. Best, hey, Chuck. How have you been?
Oh, wonderful. Beautiful weather as usual. I have a question for you. After a decent earnings report, but then $300 million mixed security filing, any thoughts on my spec fintech security play, OneSpan, OSPN?
OneSpan's good. You know, I'm an Okta fan. Kramer Family Fave Okta, I think, has got more long-term staying power. That's the one you want to be in. Let's go to Ovan in Maryland. Ovan.
Hey, Jim, this is Ovan from Maryland. I want to give you a booyah!
Okay.
Rat battle. Here we go. All right, so my stock that I'm interested, I bought it during some hard times, and I really believe in this model, and I'm kind of curious about how you feel about it. The stock symbol is IIPR.
Yeah, I know it, and it's a pick and pan. Some people say it like that. A play on gold. In other words, it is a REIT for cannabis. And I'm going to say nothing cannabis is working, including a REIT. So no way, no how. Ken in California. Ken!
Hey! Booyah!
Booyah, Ken.
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
And also, thank you for your common sense approach to stocks.
Thank you.
My question is... Slack Industries, WORK.
Well, Slack Technologies, I've got to tell you, I think it's a very good company. I don't like those direct listings. They tend not to be able to find real buyers. But you know what? The other day I said it was time to buy Spotify, and I've been right. I think you'll be fine putting on a little Slack, but we got to wait till see. I mean, geez, this crop of ones that have just come public. Look at Pinterest tonight, blew up. Got to be careful. John in Montana, John.
Booyah, Jim, and thanks for taking my call.
Oh,
wanted to hear your,
Hey, wanted to hear your thoughts on GW Pharma.
I think GW Pharma is real good. We had Justin Gover on recently. Now it is, again, I keep pointing this out, is in marijuana ETFs. And the shorts are pushing those down. There's a lot of too much hot money in it. But GW Pharma is a true pharmaceutical company, and I think it's fine. Half position now and see if the marijuana stocks have one more leg down. Jimmy in California. Jimmy!
Mr. Kramer, booyah!
Booyah.
Thank you very much for taking my call, sir. It's my first time calling. I've been listening at your program for years.
Oh, thank you.
My stock is Covanta Holdings.
I'm surprised Covanta, that people don't trust that distribution. What are people worried about? Just so you know about this, this yield's almost 7%. I mean, as soon as you see a 7% yield, people say there must be something wrong. We've had Covanta on the show a couple of times. This is waste energy. I feel confident about it. I can be wrong. But I felt when we had them on, they told a real good story. How about we go to Hank in Florida? Hank!
Hello, Mr. Kramer. A big Halloween booyah.
Ooh, very scary. Very scary.
Ooh. Listen, a few months ago, you recommended CME Group.
Yeah, I think CME is terrific. CME has got really, it's a transaction-based business. If it comes in, I want to be even bigger. This company's got a great franchise. I really like CME. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade.
I said it before, I'll say it again. This whole economy is being propped up by the consumer. Despite the trade tensions with China, slowdown in business investment here in the U.S., the labor market's in terrific shape and the consumers are flush. So if we want to understand what can work in this environment, we got to catch up with a true retail expert. I'm talking about Adrian Shapira. She's the managing director of Eurasio. Eurasio, that's a new company. Eurasio Brands, well, from when I knew you, it's a retail-oriented private equity firm. Shapira's a legend. She spent 13 years at Goldman Sachs, where she taught me a ton. She's the managing director in global investment research, covering the broadline retail sector. She then became the CFO of David Yurman, designed jewelry company from 2012 to 2016. Just today, we learned that her private equity firm bought a minority stake in Herschel Supply Company. That's the company best known for its hipster retro backpacks that my wife loves. So let's take the pulse of the consumer with my friend. Yes, I'm willing to say that, even though I know it's not about friends, it's about money. Adrian Shapira, and learn more about Eurasio's brand's latest investment. Ms. Shapira, welcome to Mad Money.
Thank you, Jim. So good to see you.
Well, I mean it when I say you taught me so much. No, you were the best retail analyst on the street for years and years and years. Then you decided to go out on your own. And tell us about this one, because this is a brand that, frankly, I was trying to figure out who owned it. Because I see it everywhere.
Founders. Three brothers in Vancouver. It's Halloween. I brought you a treat.
Thank you.
Backpack for you. But yeah, we're super excited. This is our fifth investment at Eurasio Brands. And what's so exciting is that they really disrupted the category 10 years ago. Two brothers in Vancouver, Jamie and Lyndon Cormack, saw that, you know, the backpack category was much more functional. And
right.
They brought quality design, craftsmanship, and their badge. And what that did is it added a heartbeat to the category. They really recognized that consumers were valuing travel, adventure, and they wanted Herschel to be part of the journey, and that's what they did.
Okay, so now you obviously looked at financials ahead of time. This is not, they're not inexpensive. They're good looking.
Yeah.
They're not schlock. They're really good. So are they selling? I mean, in other
they
words,
are.
Okay, and is the consumer, do we draw a conclusion that Herschel's doing great or that Herschel's doing great and the consumer's doing great?
Well, it depends. I mean, Herschel is doing great, and, you know, I've got this hip sack here. You thought I couldn't get any chicer. Look at that. So I am so cool going through the TSA line. You know, I mean, what they bring is a great aesthetic and travel and mobility. I mean, everything has to be hands-free, right? I mean,
right.
You've got so many phones you're juggling. And so what they have done is brought smart solutions to the modern multitasking mm-hmm. consumer. And you feel well-traveled. You feel super smart when you've got Herschel that has thought through a lot of these things.
You have a lot of other cool brands that people don't know are yours.
Yes, so yes.
We all, once you tell them, all the hipsters will know, because that's really what you put together. Go ahead.
Thank you. Alongside my partner, Jill Granoff, when we launched Eurasio Brands about 2.5 years ago, we had the great opportunity, thanks to our CEO, Virginie Morgan, to birth brands. And Eurasio is a $18 billion listed private equity firm, but on the heels of the great success
but
they had
in Paris.
But on the heels of the great Moncler success, our CEO, Virginie, thought, you know, let's go after consumer differently.
Right.
So she charged Jill and I to think about consumer brands in a way that really resonated with the consumer. Who is talking and tugging at the heartstrings of consumers today? So we have $800 million allocated on the balance sheet to invest across six consumer verticals: fashion, beauty, home, leisure, food, and wellness. We've done now five investments, two in beauty, Nest Fragrances, and Pat McGrath Color Cosmetics. In activewear, we've invested in Bandeer, and in food and beverage, Q Mixers. And today, super excited about Hershey.
The Q is brilliant. You know, it's brilliant. Because
yeah, Brooklyn-based.
Yes, I know, Brooklyn-based. And yeah, what you just, it's just crushing it because no one wants the big old brands. It's just like Bud. Q is craft versus Bud.
Right. No, it's true the emerging brands are winning in such a meaningful way because, again, you know, how we shop is obviously being disrupted.
Right.
And as a result, you know, consumers can kind of, the transparency drives great knowledge about these brands. And so the consumer demands a soul. And so now...
A soul. Consumer demands a soul.
Yeah.
But people think Facebook's phony. And they think Instagram's phony. Do they have a soul?
Well, I think what we found is our founders, all of our five investments are founder-led. They are unbelievable, soulful people. And they've got great stories to tell. And as a result, you know, consumers really resonate with that. I mean, when you light a Nest bamboo candle, it creates a mood.
Right.
When you're wearing Pat McGrath cosmetics, you feel beautiful. When you're wearing Bandeer, you feel strong. Q, I mean, a spectacular cocktail with an addition of Q. And Herschel, you feel super smart when you travel.
Yes.
So all those things, you know, I think really resonate with the consumers. And I think given Jill and our operating expertise, I think we recognize that, again, consumers are demanding much more for brands than just, you know, just what was the past.
But I see these brands resonate in social media by people who love them.
Right.
I mean, really, I think, isn't that part of the allure and part of the sales?
Yeah, people want to be part of the tribe. People want to be part of that movement.
No, but this is new from when you were at Goldman, right?
Yeah.
That was not the case.
Right.
Is the department store dead? You covered them all.
Yeah. Well, look, I think boring is dead.
Boring is dead?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's happening is
that's good.
There's a wedge between winners and losers, right? And so I think winners are almost like good husbands, the ones that care and listen. You know what that's like. And so if you care and listen to the consumer, you're winning.
Well, you know, look, congratulations. This is a very big deal. I know everybody was talking about it today. You got to come on each one of your deals because you have the pulse better than anyone I've ever met. I'm not kidding. The best pulse. She knows more about retail than anyone I've ever
met. That's very nice.
Thank
you very much. Let's also... excited that we've got co-investors with this deal.
Absolutely. Okay, that's Adrienne Shapiro. She's Managing Director of Eurazio Brands. Stick with Kramer, and we'll be back. First, happy Halloween. I'm going to go home tonight, and after I've given out all the Smarties that I have, actually, I'm going to Longshoreman to get out the Smarties. I am going to look into this Arista Networks, ANET, which is down so badly, but also look into Qorvo, which is a cell phone maker semi that is soaring. So cell phone semi up, and then a company that is involved with the cloud. That's ANET, down big. I like to say there's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to try to find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer, and I'll see you tomorrow!
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.